Welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and this podcast is your guide to start creating a lifestyle by design. From entrepreneurship, money and finance, taxes and residencies, and everything in between, this show highlights the nuances of a true global citizen lifestyle. Let's dive in. Welcome back to yet another Digital Nomad Digest segment. It's been a minute, but we are back. Myself, Cami. Today, I really wanted to dive into Cami's area of expertise. We have a lot of episodes, past episodes on the show where we dive into my expertise, also hers. But today, I really wanted to single out an area where she is an expert, which is the conscious versus subconscious mind. And I know a lot of listeners to this show are probably less into the woo-woo space, which is totally fine, and more into the, you know, hustle, grind, entrepreneurship, living abroad, having multiple residencies, research, and whatnot. So I think that within building something for yourself, we often neglect the power of the mindset, which I am learning about now as well as an entrepreneur. And, you know, we think about the cold, hard facts, but we don't often think about the mindset component and how that can be just as, if not sometimes more important. So Cami is going to dive into what that looks like today. I have a few questions for her, but one question that came up when we were previously recording for her podcast was she was speaking about the mind and how 95% of your mind and your thoughts that run through your mind are actually subconscious, and only 5% of your thoughts are conscious, which is just mind-blowing to me, because we think everything that we think we're aware of, but if we're only really aware of 5%, what else is happening there? So Cami, can you dive into this and how this could be beneficial to be a successful entrepreneur?
I am so excited to be here and talk about this topic, because I feel like the mind is so, so powerful, and it's a mechanism that we use to, like, such a small percentage of its potential, you know, and how powerful it is to create our realities and also help us in creating our businesses and just having the focus and the energy and the overall, like, positive mindset and self-confidence as well for us to grow and build whatever we want to build and build our lives as well. And I want to start off by saying that for anyone who's a skeptical out there, I was in the same boat as you. I've never been like a person who was like a blind believer. You know, I remember when I was younger, even I was like very, very skeptical. I didn't believe in God, you know, although like I grew up in a Jewish, Jewish family. I would read the Torah, you know, whenever we went to the synagogue, and I would be like, no, like I am above God, you know, like I don't believe in this shit and everything. So I used to be very skeptical, and I think that was a great mindset for me to go into spirituality, because then instead of accepting things blindly, I would always ask why and always trying to find another explanation and a more kind of like scientific explanation. And that's when I kind of stumbled upon manifestation, but not only the spiritual, quote unquote, like law of attraction, like energy based, quote unquote, like woo woo manifestation, but more so the neurological manifestation that is based on the subconscious, and it's very much studied by quantum physics. So for anyone who's very spiritual, kind of like against like woo woo and more skeptical, believe me, like I was in the same boat, and those are the researchers that I found that at least had some sort of scientific things, you know, like support, let's say, behind it. And it's really beautiful, because the more that you study it, you see how science and spirituality is actually go so hand in hand. They just maybe sometimes have different ways of explaining things or different names for it, but ultimately it's like this phenomenon, you know, that is happening all around us and that we can't really like go against, like gravity, you know. And that is like something that I think it's very, very interesting. So I'm gonna try to be like, as I don't know, explanatory in a more logical approach that I can, but of course I also have this spiritual blood coming through my veins, so it's impossible to not bring the woo with me. But yeah, one thing that I wanted to touch on what you said about the 95% and 5%. So the thing with like the subconscious mind and the conscious mind is that I love the vision of like the image of the iceberg. So we have the tip of the iceberg, which is like the 5%, let's say that's the conscious stuff. And then we have the subconscious, which is like the other 95% of thoughts, limiting beliefs, beliefs about life, our paradigms as well, you know, how we believe and perceive that life is supposed to be and is, period. This is all, the majority of it is all mostly stored in our subconscious. However, and that is a percentage that I'm not really sure. I'm not really like, I would have to double check on that. But from our conscious mind, which is already like a very, very small percentage of everything that we have in our, you know, consciousness, we even are aware of a lesser percentage. So from our 5%, let's say that we have in our conscious mind, what we actually perceive in our day-to-day basis is like less than 1%. So as I said before, for example, in the other episode that we had, maybe in your 5% of like conscious brain, you are thinking, I don't know, I am a broken person, you know, and you're like, I'm broke or I'm broken inside or whatever. But let's take the idea of like money as a broken person. So I am broke. So you are all constantly thinking to yourself, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. So you're walking on the streets and you see like a coffee shop and you're like, I can't go in and buy my, like you see the coffee shop and you're like, oh my God, it's so expensive to buy a coffee there. And then you walk a little bit more and you look at the grocery store and you think to yourself, oh my God, groceries are getting so expensive because of inflation. And then you give two more steps and then you are in front of a store and you look at the store and you say, and you think to yourself, oh my God, I wish that I could buy more stuff because I don't know, my jeans are all ripped. I need to buy new jeans, but I don't have the money. So just from going on, like, let's say that you walk one block and you see like these four examples and you have all of these thoughts, but maybe your awareness, so how aware you are of your thoughts, it's like you just notice one of them. So you just notice the one of the coffee shop and then you walked, you know, 10 more steps, thought like 10 more limiting beliefs about how broke you are and how much money you don't have. But you're not even aware of that. And that's not even in your subconscious. That's still on your conscious mind. But what you're perceiving, what you're aware of, what you're thinking is not even in your, it's not even in there anymore, you know, because we perceive so, so much less than what it is, than it's in your, in our conscious brain, let alone what is in our subconscious. So in all in all, really, our subconscious is basically ruling us and ruling how we act in life and how we perceive life and what we are willing to, you know, what risks we are willing to take, whether we're going to perceive rejection as a big failure and as a threat to our beingness, or if we're willing to walk through it and be like, yeah, I don't care about rejection, I don't care about failure. And how are you going to act with your business, you know, whether you're going to take a big risk, whether you're going to be like a more sick, like wanting to seek safety as an entrepreneur. So all of these things, they are lodged in our subconscious and they are ruling us constantly. And this is not to put like fear in anyone of like, oh my God, what is in my subconscious that I don't have access to that is ruling me. But it is more so for you to learn about the importance and the power that you hold inside of your mind, in your mindset, in your brain, in your consciousness. Because when you start bringing awareness to it, when you start to understanding it, then you can use it in your favor instead of having it rule your life, maybe quote unquote against you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So with you saying that, I'm curious, how do you start making some shifts and what is the action that needs to be taken in order to start changing your subconscious?
I would say that the first thing that's the most important is awareness. And you can work towards awareness in whatever way you would prefer. So we talked about journaling last time that we talked. A lot of people use journaling as a way to kind of bridge the conscious and the subconscious mind, because a lot of people use what it's called like brain dumping journaling. So you just start writing and writing and writing and writing, and then after, I don't know, one or two like long pages, you'll see that at some point you just start writing without thinking, and maybe you start dumping things that you didn't even know that you thought of, you know? Maybe you start writing and writing, and then you say like, I don't know, I deserve to be rejected and I deserve to not have money because when I was younger, in my parents' divorce, I chose my mom who had money. I don't know, you know, like something like that. Then it's something that comes out of you that's like lodged in your subconscious that you didn't even have one single idea that you had in your brain. So a lot of people use journaling. You can use like therapy, talking therapy, hypnotherapy, meditation, for example, is also a great way of kind of like sitting in stillness and becoming aware of the thoughts that come. Because ultimately, like, it's the things that are coming to you, but you're not really aware of them. You're like, your head is somewhere else, you're checked out, you're not even here to really be aware and like notice whatever is going on in your head. And for me, one of the things that I like the most to help me bridge this conscious and subconscious and becoming aware, and it's something that I don't hear a lot of people talk about, but I think it's one of the most powerful tools that you can use, is being aware of your feelings and your emotions. And that for me is like the gateway for you to transform everything in your life, and that we learn how to hide and to run away from it. So if you, for example, you wake up and you're feeling anxious, instead of like sitting with that anxiety and kind of like asking that anxiety, why are you here? And kind of inquiring and leaning into it, we tend to like numb it, go on social media, scroll away, and then anxiety is gone. But the anxiety will come back moments later, or one day later, or one week later, even stronger, because it wants to be seen. And that anxiety is basically an emotion, which is energy in motion, which is something that's wanting to come up from the subconscious, that wants to come up to come forth to the conscious mind for us to observe and to deal with. It's like a limiting belief, a blocked energy that's wanting to come forth, that we're not allowing it to be seen. And when you allow it to be seen, you shed light on it, you bring awareness to it, it's transforming into something else. And energy doesn't dissipate, it transforms. So when you transform that energy, when you transform that emotion, it's going normally with awareness, it's going to transform into something that is, let's say, in a higher vibration. So it's going to transform into productivity, into focus, into excitement, into an inspiration for an idea, to another business idea, for example. Or it will transform into lightness, into peace, or whatever it is, you know, that's a more positive vibration that you want to have and cultivate in your life. So yeah, I would say that, you know, there are thousands and different ways to cultivate that awareness, so you can start becoming more aware of what are the thoughts in your in your conscious mind. And then the subconscious is a little bit of another concept, but I feel like the emotion is something that it's almost like a bridge between the two that is not that much appreciated, but it holds a lot of power and a lot of transformation to it.
So on the topic of you mentioned about, I think it was the energy transforming, you know, it doesn't just dissipate, it transforms. And it's interesting you mentioned that because I just started the book called It Didn't Start With You, because I've heard it recommended by a few people. I don't know if you've read that or not, but it essentially is saying that trauma, and so far, you know, the examples that I've seen in the book is trauma can be passed down to a certain number of generations. So they use an example of a Holocaust survivor who, you know, unfortunately they passed away in the Holocaust. And so two generations later, that woman was in therapy and she was wanting to commit suicide in the exact same way that her grandmother had died without even knowing that that is how she had died. And it was passed down. And then once the therapist made that connection, that was when she was actually able to heal, because she was like, I don't know where these thoughts are coming from, but I just want to, she wanted to like vaporize herself in a like boiling vat of iron or something like that. And it was just so wild. And I've never, until I read that, you know, I never really thought of the concept that energy doesn't just dissipate, but it stays in the body and then it can also be passed down.
Yes. And that's called transgenerational trauma. And I love that you're bringing that. I love that concept so much. And I also have an example of my own that I can give, which is really great because then we can talk about it. And transgenerational trauma is really something that is not like a woo-woo thing. It's studied like very, very deeply by a psychologist and neurologists. I don't know how to say it.
Neurologists,
yeah. So it's like something that's deeply studied and it shows how trauma is stored in the body and all of the sort of stuff and how it kind of passes down through DNA as well. So it's really, really, really amazing. And that's why I think it's so important for you to not only learn about like your own story, but also maybe learn about the story of your parents, your grandparents and everything. And for me personally, so I'll tell you this story. My grandparents from my dad's side of the family, they were like born and raised in Egypt. They are not Egyptian, but they were born and raised there. My great grandparents were also born and raised there. So there's a lot of like, let's say, the consciousness of Egypt and everything. But my great-great-great parents were born in Greece and Italy. So my grandparents, although they were born in Egypt and they lived their entire life there, they were not considered Egyptians because they were considered Europeans in Egypt. And they didn't even have the Egyptian passport and everything. And they were also Jewish. And there was a point in the history of Egypt where all of the Jews and Europeans of Egypt, they were expelled. However, it was very traumatic the way that this happened. So they were actually, and this is something that I learned only like 2 years ago, you know, they were only like 20, 22 years, something like that. And they had just gotten married. They had just gotten their apartment and everything. And they were going to spend their honeymoon like in the Alps or something like that, like skiing or something like that. But then the Nasser, which was the Egyptian president, he came into power, or he was a dictatorship, I don't know, like, but this guy specifically, he came into power and he decided that he was going to expel all of the Jews in Egypt. So he set out a law that froze all of the bank accounts of the Jewish and Europeans. And they told them, you have 1 month to leave the country. Otherwise, you will be like very, very, like, I don't know if they were going to kill them or if they're going to like just make their life really, really hard. But basically, so if you received your like a lot of money today and you put it in your bank account and you're like, okay, tomorrow, like I'll go and get some money from my bank. If that money was in your bank account, the next day it wasn't yours anymore. It wasn't yours. You're not going to see the light of day of that money. So that happened to them. And then they had a business as well that was taken by the government. Basically, the government started like deserting them of every resource that they had. And in like 2 or 3 weeks, they had to sell their newlywed apartment, forget honeymoon, take a ship and go to the only country that was accepting people. At this point, there was one guy that was like nationless. He didn't have a passport in the family. The only country that was accepting of this type of people that didn't have passports was Brazil. So they took a ship and went the entire family to Brazil. It was a family of like, I don't know, 10 people with $500 for all of them. The first day, the first night that they got there, they had to sleep like in the middle of the park. They didn't have where to, they didn't know where to sleep. They didn't know the language. They didn't know anyone. They didn't even know the country. They just went because it was the only fucking country that was accepting of that one like specific guy there that changed the whole course of history. And you know, like I just keep thinking, oh, like my grandmother's vision of like, I have my new apartment, I just got married, I'm gonna go on my honeymoon. No, you're not gonna go on your honeymoon. From one day to the other, they didn't have more money, they didn't have access to their money, they didn't have the business anymore because it was taken by the government. They everything was taken away from them, like everything in terms of resources was taken away from them, and they were expelled. And they said, like, go where, like, I don't know where we're going, I don't care. So they lost their home. They lost everything that they had. And they went, they had to go to Brazil and kind of, like, make their lives from zero there. And for a long time, I had this sensation, this fear of losing everything. Every single day or, like, every single week, I wake up with this feeling of, I feel like the... like life is going to pull the rug from underneath me and I'm going to lose everything. I constantly have this feeling, constantly have this sensation. But whenever I have it, I know that it's not mine because I never lost anything. Like I never lost everything in my life for it to be logical, the fact of why I'm so afraid and so anxious of losing my physical property, like my resources. And it's not like I'm afraid of losing like my boyfriend or my friends or anything or my health. I'm afraid of losing like my money, of losing my house, you know, like. And it's so interesting because since I started traveling and I left Brazil, I feel like this for some reason kind of like triggered it in me, and it became way stronger, like stronger than it is in anyone else in my family. And I feel like a part of why I came into this earth with this specific trigger, like with this specific trauma still, is because I am the one who needs to release it from the family. And I feel like I'm still doing this like every single day, like little by little, but I feel it very, very strongly. And it's so interesting because, for example, like 2 years ago, the partner that I met, he's Egyptian. And so it, like, my life kept kind of, and I lived in Greece. And while I was living in Greece, so while I was living where my great, 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 like, where the lineage is from, I met this guy from Egypt. Like, everything is connected, you know? And the feeling got stronger and stronger and stronger because it's here to be seen. So I love getting to know this story more and more because it allows me to take a step back from it, and instead of judging it or being like, this is mine or this is me or I'm really going to lose everything. It's like I take a step back and I recognize that this is not mine. This is something that is a trauma that my grandparents lived, and I'm the one that's going to release it. And I can see how this trauma also informed the way that they raised my dad and his siblings, and also how my dad raised us as well, you know, in this like constant fear of losing everything to the point of I'm always going to choose safety, and how my entire family, like in my dad's side of the family, they always chose safety, and I was the child who decided to choose something else instead of safety and the safe path. I decided to choose like the extreme opposite of that, the extreme freedom. And now I'm starting to have to make peace with the safety side of things because I'm also the one that's like kind of like on the leading edge of clearing up this trauma. I know that this was a kind of like long story, but I hope that this helps kind of like explain a little bit what we were talking about.
The only way this show grows is if you share the episodes you love and your key takeaways. If you've been loving this show, hit subscribe and leave a 5-star review with your favorite takeaways. We appreciate you, and let's get back into the episode.
So wild. That's crazy. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, just because I think examples and storytelling is very powerful and really gets the point across well, it reminds me of, you know, I just started this book, but the one other example that I read in this book sounds so crazy similar to what you just told me. And it was this like young 17, 18-year-old boy. He had very normal life. One night he was laying in bed and all of a sudden he got really cold. And he couldn't fall asleep because he thought if he was going to fall asleep, he was going to die. And then, so he started, you know, night after night developing insomnia. And then years later, he just couldn't sleep anymore. And so eventually he wanted to kill himself because he just could never sleep for years on end. And it was affecting every single aspect of his life. He couldn't do anything because he was always so cold and afraid that he would die if he fell asleep. Only to learn, I believe, from his mother years later that his uncle, who he didn't even know he had an uncle, but he found out from his mom that his uncle had passed away in a snowstorm. And, you know, he was like fixing an electrical outlet or something years back in a snowstorm and then froze to death. And he carried that. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's so wild. And that reminds me a little bit more of your story where you don't, thankfully you knew where it was coming from. But I think a lot of the times people don't know to look back into their history. Obviously you are a little bit more informed, which is great, but you don't know to look back. And so you just think this is coming from you. So wild. So interesting. I feel like you need to read that book now. So my last question to wrap things up, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners are listening. What are some actions that they can take to start working on reprogramming, if that's the right word, their subconscious mind so that they can become more successful in their business and in life in general?
This is a great question because it was something that I wanted to touch on as well as we were talking, because I feel like with these things of mindset and spirituality and manifestation and things like that, I think that people sometimes they get really, really stuck on the middle of the process, let's say, and they forget to like look into the future. I'm going to try to explain what I mean. So I think that there are a lot of people who get stuck in the, oh my God, now I need to talk and interview my family members to find out every single root of my issues and blah, 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 and everything as if it's like their life's job, you know? And if you really feel like this, like in your intuition, you really feel like you need to interview your entire life, your entire family to find out if there's like a trauma that has been passed on to you, like that's great. Maybe it is your intuition telling you that, but don't feel the need to be stuck on this process of like having to kind of deal with every single trauma that comes your way, because these things, they can be released in a much more easeful and let's say non-heavy way, quote unquote, than the mind perceives it to be. I feel like the kind of like hustle culture grind mentality that we put on our day to day, sometimes we can bring to our inner work. And instead of just letting it be more easy and more easeful and more like light, we put a lot of like heavy work on it. Like, oh my God, I need to do like 3 hours of inner child work and cry for exactly 11 minutes and do the hypnotic meditation for 3 hours. Otherwise, my trauma will still be stored in my body, when it really could be as simple as like laying down on your bed, feeling the anxiety of something that you don't know what it is, like feeling it, for example, for this kid, like feeling the fear of death, crying, leaning into the fear of death, like crying. Of course, it's going to be like sad and it's going to be a challenge. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy, but like, and then releasing it, you know, because I think that sometimes we think that we need to find the reason why behind everything and every trauma. And I just want to make sure that you're not like the listener is not feeling like that, because it just adds on to like the heaviness of our to-do lists. And I don't want you to do this. And this is exactly why I created like the Manifest with Ease coaching program. And this is exactly what I do with my like coaches, to show them that it can be more like easeful and integrated with your day to day than something that you have to like stop for whatever amount of hours per day and do this and blah, blah, blah. Like there, of course, there are nuances, you know. I think it's important to stop and go into your moment of stillness, but it just doesn't have to be hijacked by the shoulds of the mind of like, this is how it should look like. So the things that I'm going to share with you of what I think you could do, I don't want you to do all of them, or you could do all of them, but I don't want you to think that you have to do all of them to achieve your goals. Like, that's not the purpose of this work. The purpose of this work is to just make you feel more like yourself, like you're more aligned with who you truly are, so then you can move forward making the decisions, taking the actions, and being alive in this world in a more aligned way, and having things come more easily and more flowing, let's say, for you. It's like, the purpose of this work is not to be in this work as if it is like the end all goal, you know. And I think that a lot of people kind of lose themselves in that, and I'm saying that because I was one of these persons. So that's why I'm like talking about this. But yeah, I hope this makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, that totally does. And I love that you saw a need for something and created it, because I totally agree. Like, I think when you get into the spirituality, manifestation, whatever you want to call it, space, there can be so much of like, you have to journal for this many hours and you have to do this. And it's like, okay, I don't have time for that. One other thing really quickly that I wanted to touch on was, you have a very interesting opinion of gaslighting in the spirituality niche. And I don't know if you've talked about this yet on your podcast or not, but I'm curious your take on this, how you have seen this, and what you are doing to kind of combat against this quote unquote gaslighting.
Yeah, I've been in the, I would say that I've been like in contact with the spiritual industry, and I've been working in the spiritual industry for a long time, and I worked really, really deeply with like a spiritual company, and I was just exposed to so many things that nowadays I have a very, very critical view of spirituality and the spiritual industry, and sometimes contradictory opinions with, you know, whatever the majority of people are talking about. And nowadays it's really hard to convince me to believe in anything that hasn't gone through my filter, because I'm like, no, you're not going to get me. And I think that in spirituality, what is really, really, really nuanced and kind of dangerous is that you're taking people in a very vulnerable place, in a very vulnerable position in their life. So normally when they are going, when they are starting to consume spiritual content, is normally because they're in a very dark position in their lives. They're having a challenge. You know, it's really rare that someone is like, oh my God, I'm doing so well, I'm gonna like just do some inner child work. You know, like, either you're going through this process of pain of some sorts, of like darkness, quote unquote, or you're like seeing kind of a gap in your life that you're wanting to improve or something else. And when you are in this place, in this position of vulnerability, it's really easy sometimes to put other people above you as if they know more than you, and to relinquish your power and your sovereignty and just give it to them. And when you do that, you are deleting your sovereignty, you're deleting your authority, you're deleting your intuition and the knowledge that you have of yourself, and you're giving it to someone else. And the power that this person holds of deciding things for you, of controlling you, of making you do things that maybe you don't believe that it's the best, but, you know, the person that is like the podcaster or the guru or the teacher in the course or the coach or the mentor or whomever it is, they're telling me that I should be doing this. So I guess that I shouldn't trust myself. I shouldn't trust what I feel, because what I feel is probably quote unquote wrong because I haven't quote unquote healed yet. That is so normal. Like, that is so normalized in the spiritual space. Like, I have done this. I've seen a lot of other people doing this. And I think that it's very, very, very dangerous. And I think that in the spiritual space, in the spiritual industry, when you're selling a course, when you're selling like a manifestation course, or when you're selling like self-improvement or self-confidence, self-love, whatever, like meet your soulmate, you know, or something like that, whatever course it is on improving your life or your connection to, you know, spirituality, you have to be really, really careful of the kind of how you position yourself and how you tell people that your course is going to better their lives. Because I've seen a lot of people, like, especially in the manifestation space, low-key almost saying, like, if you don't invest in a course, if you don't invest in a mentorship, the universe is not going to reward you. The universe is not going to bring you the abundance. And it almost puts you in the place of, like, doubting your own intuition of, oh my God, maybe I should and maybe I have to invest in this mentorship. Otherwise, I'm not showing the universe that I am serious enough. And because this person, if this person has this amount of money, then they know what they're talking about. So I just need to shut up my own ego because my ego is scared, quote unquote, of investing, and just go ahead and jump, you know, jump off the cliff and invest on it. And I understand from where these people are coming from, because there is a certain, in manifestation, there is a concept of trust and certainty and, like, jumping off cliffs and everything that is a very much connected concept with manifestation. But I think that the way that you position it and then you talk about it must, like, you have to be so, so, so careful because people are in this vulnerable place. So if people are, so imagine, like, if someone is in a very vulnerable place, they have just gotten laid off, they are feeling like really, really broke, they don't have money, they are in debt and everything, but they're wanting to start their business. And then they see this woman that's very, very successful and she, you know, has a very big business and everything. And she says, for example, if you don't invest in a mentorship, the universe is not going to reward you and you're not going to grow your business. If you are in this vulnerable position, you might even, like, go against the discomfort in your body and, like, go after money that you don't have and put it in this course that, yes, maybe it will help you. I'm not saying that it doesn't. Maybe it will help you, but maybe it's not going to happen because maybe right there and then your intuition would lead you to do something else. Maybe investing in the course is the second thing that you should be doing, not the first. And your intuition, your body is trying to show you what is the first, but you're not trusting it. You're trusting this other mentor, this other guru instead. So I, like, for me, the gaslighting is in this, is in them overruling your intuition. That's why for me, since I started working with this, with spirituality, since I created my podcast in 2020, my whole thing has been intuition. Because I think that when you help people strengthen their intuitions, no one's going to overrule them. No one's going to take your power away from you. No one's going to take your sovereignty away from you. No one's going to make your decision process look like something that it really shouldn't be looking like. That's why whenever I'm, like, selling my stuff, the first thing that I say is go check in with your intuition. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to tell you why you should be here, why you should buy my stuff. Like, I don't want your money if you're not supposed to be here. Like, I really do not want your money if you're not supposed to be here. I'd rather you, like, really feel with your intuition, even if it's an edge, even if it's expensive, even if you're kind of, like, low-key a little bit, like, oh my God, I have, you know, something in butterflies in my stomach about spending this money. I'd rather you feel like that, but feel aligned rather than, like, oh, this feels kind of, like, icky, but I guess I should because otherwise I won't manifest. Like, don't come into my program with this energy, you know, like, that's not what I want. So I think that it's, for me, the way that I have countered it is always guiding people back to their intuitions and their inner authorities and their sovereignties, because I know that whatever is aligned for them, it's also aligned for me. And if they're making if I force them to make a decision, it's going to be a bad client for me. You know, something's not going to be aligned. So yeah, I think more people in the spiritual industry should guide their sales like that, other than picking on people's pain points and making them so strong and using it, that vulnerability, as, like, a marketing. Because I know that that's how it, quote-unquote, should be, quote-unquote. But for me, like, it's about, like, it's really something that is it's a balance. And, yeah, maybe I also don't know, you know, like, what's the best answer for this, but I think it's something that we for sure have to be aware of when we are in this space.
Wow. What really insightful information. I love your take on that because I have never heard anybody else have that take. So I really wanted you to share that. Tammy, you just rebranded your podcast. Where can people find you? What is the new podcast? Let us know all of the links.
Yes, with all of this like information that I just shared, I decided to rebrand my podcast to something that is more, has this more like easeful approach to it. It is more integrated with like life and lifestyle things and everything. But I don't know, I just felt like every time that I press play on a podcast, I was so tired of hearing like all of the different ways that I should be better and why I was like such a broken person. You know, I was like tired. I was like, okay, I know that I need to self-improve, but I just want to like, you know, have a space where I can feel uplifted and happy and everything. So I decided to rebrand my entire podcast to talk about manifestation, but in an easeful way, to show you that it can be easy, to show you, not easy in the way that the mind perceives, like, it's going to happen really fast, just easeful. Like the process can feel light. It doesn't have to feel heavy. There are going to be challenges because we're humans, but it just can feel easeful. Like the process can feel more integrated with your life instead of something that is separate from your life, you know? So it's almost like the thing that we are really focusing on in the podcast is teaching you how to have manifestation as a second nature. Like it's a skill that you have, and it's a vision that you have of the world rather than something that is you only use it when you want something specific. So yeah, it's a very, very beautiful way of seeing it. The name of the podcast right now is the 11 a.m. morning routine, and the Instagram is the 11 a.m. club. So it's very focused on this slow living, manifesting in an easeful way, in a community, in a way that's authentic to you through your intuition rather than like just me telling you what you should be doing. So yeah, go connect with me and with us over there.
And all of the links are below. Cammy, thank you for being here on this one more episode of Digital Nomad Digest. We are not releasing the Digital Nomad Digest every week like we used to, but they are sporadic. They will still be on the show. So stay tuned for more episodes with not only myself and Cammy, but for solo episodes and guest episodes on the show. You've just listened to the Work, Wealth, and Travel podcast. If anything from this episode resonated with you, I would appreciate if you share this podcast on your socials. And of course, be sure to tag me. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining me on this global citizen journey, and I'll see you in the next episode.